welcome to the Leadership Learn podcast, brought to you by the Inspirational Development Group. Each episode, we examine the behaviours, skills and attributes required to improve human performance through effective leadership. We discuss the latest thinking and issues affecting leadership from the boardroom to the classroom to provide you, whether you're a CEO, manager, graduate or student, with tangible insights to take away and use in your career and workplace as we go beyond the clichés to prove that leaders are made, not born. In this episode, we're talking about something that may not initially appear to be a relevant topic for a leadership podcast, the menopause. Why do we think it's a big, relevant issue? Well, it's something that affects almost all women. At its worst, it can be utterly debilitating, but even in its milder form, it significantly affects a woman's ability to perform at their peak. The modern leader needs to know their people, and yet there is a silence around the menopause, similar to how there was with mental health up until a few years ago. It's incredible that most men and quite a lot of women know little or nothing about something that affects such a large proportion of the workforce, and we think it's time to have that conversation and explode that taboo. We discuss what it is, the effects it can have, why people don't talk about it, and what can be done to support people going through it and alleviate its effects. I'm your host, Matthew Moore, together with our regulars, Nigel Girling, Rona McKenzie.
Okay, so today we're joined by Jo Bradshaw. And Jo, if you'd like to introduce yourself for us.
Hi, Matt. I am an expedition leader, outdoor instructor, public speaker, mountaineer, climbed Everest, and I lead people in extreme environments all around the world.
Fantastic. And Jo is with us today because she has a particular interest and knowledge of the issue we're going to be talking about, which is the menopause and why it's a hugely relevant business issue that for some reason isn't discussed, despite being an at times debilitating condition for half the workforce. So I think initially, Jo, if you can tell us just exactly what it is.
I think we were having a chat before this and Rona described it perfectly, and she said it's the time when your periods stop, whatever age that may be. However, there is so much more involved in it than just that. A lot of people think, oh, that's it, periods are stopped, I'll be fine, but it has a massive impact on the hormone balances in your body, which have a big impact on virtually every aspect of your life.
And before all the men who started listening switch off and think, okay, I've downloaded the wrong podcast. Rona, talk to us about why this is a leadership issue.
I think it's a leadership issue because, of course, it, as you said, it affects half the workforce. So every woman will go through this in her life. I find it quite frightening that I didn't know anything about it up until the moment when it happened. And also that the impact of the menopause means that women aren't able to perform at their best. And it tends to happen at a time when we are at probably the highest point in our careers in terms of drawing from all our experience and our expertise and bringing it to bear in the workplace. Suddenly, there's the potential that we won't be able to perform to those high standards. And so employers stand to lose their best women, in performing at their best. But also for colleagues, it's really difficult to then understand why the people you knew so well suddenly may be behaving slightly differently. So I feel like we're misinformed in so many ways. And that's just workplace relationships. We're not even touching on family relationships and home life. So, yeah, I think it's something that we all need to know more about collectively. So we thought today we'd have a bit of a chat about it.
OK, and the three of you all each have a very different experiences with it and very relevant from both the female point perspective and the male perspective. So if Jo, if you can tell us about your experience of it and how it affected you.
Yeah, sure. So I lost my father when I was 45, and he was very old, so it was a very natural thing. And you go into obviously the grief process, and that seemed to go on for quite a long time. And I know grief is very different for many people, but it wasn't until I was talking to, it's actually a Tanzanian guide I was working with on Kilimanjaro, I know him very well, and he just says, you're not quite yourself. And I said, I'm just feeling really down and depressed, and and I think it's because of Dad. And it wasn't until that point where I thought, well, maybe it's not, maybe there's I'm getting to the time of life where things are changing, but I'd never done any research on it. I think like the majority of women, I'd never spoken about it with anybody, never read any books. It was still, and this was sort of 5 years ago, it was still very much not talked about. So I put it to one side and thought, oh, you know, maybe it's not that. Until the pandemic, when I started experiencing many more symptoms. And for me, it was chronic fatigue, brain fog, forgetting words. So I'd try and have a conversation with somebody, or I'd try and teach a student, you know, how to use a compass. And I'd forget the word for compass, or I forgot the word for footpath. And it was there in my head, but it just wasn't coming out. And people thought I was a little bit stupid. How can you teach or how can you instruct? And it's like, well, this is not me. This is, you know, I'm usually quite free flowing with my words. And I was having really big difficulties with stringing a sentence together, anxiety, you know, and then the normal hot sweats, cold shivers, cold fevers, tinnitus, which is a joy, you know, and anxiety, all of this stuff was starting to come out. And I'm thinking, this is just not me. So there was definitely something going on. And the pandemic sort of helped in this, you know, I'm not saying the pandemic helps at all, but for me, it was like a sort of midway, okay, just take a step back. I was a Tesco delivery driver at the time, so I had no other responsibility other than not crashing a van and making sure that I delivered the right stuff to the right people. So it enabled me to work things through before I then got back to instructing and doing leadership development work.
And that sounds like quite a long time, because again, you know, the perception, certainly from a male perspective, is that this is not something that affects women hugely, but it also is just for a short period of time. Yeah. Whereas what you're saying there is it significantly affected your ability to perform for what, a couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. And for me, you know, the symptoms start creeping up. So it's, you start racking up this range of symptoms, you know, like, well, surely they can't be connected. Even things like, you know, joint pain and muscle pain for me was really bad. I used to get out of bed in the morning and not be able to put my heels on the floor. And I used to walk around tiptoe because my ankle joints were so painful. And I was thinking, this is, so maybe I need to, you know, get some rehabilitation for maybe an old injury, you know. And you don't, I didn't just connect them together. My local GP is also a friend of mine, and I tried to get an appointment with her. She was busy. She was, it always is. Got another doctor, and the other doctor said, and this was when I was 50, so this was 18 months ago, you're too young. The average age is 51. I said to her, please.
Wow.
Please, can you redo the maths? I'm 50. That is part of an average of 51. You know, and not everybody will hit 51 and go, bang, I'm in it. That's it. Happy days. It's over. It can go on for years. And the perimenopause, which is the run up to, you know, when you actually go straight into the menopause, that all these symptoms and all these experiences will escalate. And then I finally saw my doctor, and she confirmed that I was in the menopause, and I started on HRT, and over time I gradually got my life back. Wow. And it was just that I feel like I have myself back now, and that's been 18 months since I went on HRT, so it's made a big difference.
It amazes me the way, what you're talking about there, the lack of information that was available to you, and that's you going through it naturally, whereas Rona, your experience was different, but you also, it was the lack of information that really sort of suffered.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had endometriosis. I didn't know that I did. I'd finished my headship, so I'd spent 4 years as a founding principal working very hard and under quite high stress. So by the time I ended that job at the end of December 2017, so similar time frame to you, Joe, I was kind of 41. And I, as that classic, when you're a teacher, you know, when you get to a holiday, you're poorly, because that's what we do. Got to Christmas, didn't feel very well, got into January, and I'd started an MBA. So I was a full-time student for a whole year, which I was very excited about. No responsibility, no title, just learn, do the great stuff. And but I was poorly in the January, really poorly, lots of back pain, didn't know why. And long story short, I had endometriosis, and actually a cyst had formed inside of my abdomen, and which was growing at a very rapid rate, to the point where I ended up in A&E every month on a particular day. Funny that. So around the time that would have been my period, I was experiencing excruciating pain and being taken in by ambulance to hospital. And so what ended up then was some investigations, and this cyst needed to be removed. Well, I couldn't have it removed till much later in the summer. So it got bigger and bigger, to a point where I did go to an event and someone asked if I might be pregnant, which I obviously wasn't. And so I then had surgery, and the intention was that under keyhole, it would be the part of the cyst would be removed. And actually, once they opened me up, that was totally impossible. So I had a total hysterectomy. And so crashed into the menopause overnight. And because the intention had never been for that surgery to take place into that degree, I didn't have any tests done on my normal hormone levels. So I didn't know what kind of normal for me was. I just remember waking up the next day, and partly thinking that I wasn't quite sure if all my insides might fall out, because it's a very strange scenario having a hysterectomy. I wasn't quite sure how I was still joined together, but feeling like, exactly as Joe said, I didn't know who I was. So I couldn't stop crying. I felt anxious, and I just was petrified. I remember ringing my mum from the hospital. I was in there for about a week, just crying and saying, "Mum, something's awful is wrong." And her saying, "No, it's fine. It'll be fine. It's just, it'll be the menopause."
So she recognised the symptoms.
Yeah. So my mum's a nurse, but she also, as a woman, she's 30 years older than me, so been there a long time before, but just knew that this would pass. But what was awful was then when I came out of hospital, kind of a week later, the night sweats were horrific. And I felt awful anyway, but I just didn't know whether I was coming or going. And that really anxious feeling of, is this ever going to go away, or is this the new version of me? Am I going to have to learn to be this person? And I don't want to be, because this doesn't feel right. And now I, as Joe said, I started Googling, and Google can be your worst enemy or your best friend. Mm-hmm. And so on there is an awful lot of people claiming to have drugs that will make you feel better when you're going through the menopause, bioidentical, this, that, and the other. Unfortunately, I came across the website of Dr. Louise Newson, who's the leading GP in the UK for menopause. She's utterly phenomenal. And so I took it in my own hands. So my surgeon had never talked to me about the menopause. When I left hospital, no one had a conversation with me about it. I was just off on my merry way. But I Googled her and drove over to Stratford and met her. And I remember Jo talks about the symptoms. She gave me a list to fill in before my appointment. And there's about 40 odd symptoms, I think. And I remember there was only one that affected me, and it was the sweats. It was that raised temperature and night sweats. So I'm feeling dead smug that I've only got one symptom by that point. I'll be fine. I won't need anything. And she said, that's really significant. It may just be one, but it's a very significant symptom. And so it's not that, you know, one plus one is two. Actually, one of these can have a much bigger impact on your general health than the others. And so I started on HRT. And so I learned then what HRT was. I just remember the research that said it would give you cancer. Yeah. You know, all those years ago. And so I was worried about, should I take it? And she debunked all the myths, gave me lots of things to read, and prescribed me with three types of HRT. And then I just literally overnight went back to me. And wow. So I'd gone from, I was at my university lecture, so I was already the oldest in the class by a good 15 years. But we were on about the fifth or sixth floor, and I like to be active, so I'd take the stairs, but I'd get to the top and I'd look like I'd run a marathon. I'd be pouring with sweat. I was like, this is so embarrassing. But then HRT, and a week later, back to normal, it all vanished. And so that just helped me to realize that if you get the right help, and the right advice and you're prescribed effectively, you just get you back. And then you can, you know, if it hadn't been for that moment, we're 5 years on now, I dread to think what life would have ended up like, because I definitely just wasn't me. I think that's a great phrase, Joe. Yeah, just didn't feel like me at all.
And Nigel, you had you've got your own experience, which talks about the what I was saying about the perception that it affects women only for a short period of time. You've got an experience that sort of negates that, haven't you?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, for myself, I encountered it through my wife, who is now 71 and is still experiencing many of the symptoms and ramifications of having gone through the menopause best part of 35 years ago. Now, it's not as full on as it once was, but she still, for example, has the tinnitus that Joe's mentioned. She still experiences quite a lot of the temperature issues. We spend quite a lot of our time in our house at opposite ends of the lounge, so that I can be near a window and she can be in front of the fire, and then we'll swap. And I, like I think the great majority of men, knew less than nothing, because I discovered that even the things I thought I knew were all wrong. And when I started to read about it, think about it, and this predates Google, when I started doing this, predates mobile phones and PCs, actually. But I started going to the library and looking at things to try and work out what was going on, because as both Joe and Rona have mentioned, my wife turned into someone else in a matter of weeks. And I started to find that I was noticing changes in her behavior by the minute, you know, either because I'd just seen them for the first time or because they were actually changing. And so I wanted to try and find out what was going on. It was as part of that process that I discovered also that she was on the autism spectrum. And suddenly, and I think this is significant for a lot of men in organizations, in a moment, I went from, why the hell is she doing that, to, oh, crikey, I need to help.
Mm-hmm.
It was flicking a switch. You know, my whole perspective on the whole experience shifted from being the victim of it, as I perceived myself to being someone that could actually help her deal with it. And I think organizations could go through that same mental flip if they knew enough. But I think for a lot of men that I know, and I probably was one of them previously, is that it's not just that we don't know anything about it, we actually think it's nothing to do with us. So it's not just that we don't know, it's just that we don't think like we should know. It's not our problem, you know? And yet, so obviously, we are all, you know, leaders, colleagues, husbands, fathers, sons, you know, we experience this across our entire human network, and yet we know generally so little that we don't actually make any attempt to do anything to either accommodate or alleviate or support. So there's so much that leaders can do, male or female, because I think one of the things that's come out from both Joe and Rose's comments is that actually women don't know anything about this either.
So Joe, why do you think this is something that's not talked about?
Oh, it's like, I think because it's women's issues. And we may go down the squidgy, weird, you know, weird conversations. And it's not that at all, you know. So when the menopause hits, or before or after, your estrogen levels disappear. I mean, it's just like they go off a cliff. That's it. Bye-bye. And estrogen... a lot of people just think it's a sex hormone, and at this point people are going, don't talk about this. But it's not. It has such an impact on a huge range of functions in your body and your brain, and it also means that when that goes down, other hormone levels, they don't come up, but they're more dominant, because that's just the way thing is, you know. So your testosterone, which was not dominant before, is. So women put on more weight around their midriffs, which I never realized until I was looking at myself going, oh, yes. You know, and it's these conversations that people are like, oh, la, 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 I don't want to talk about this. But it has such an impact on, you know, weight gain has such an impact on your confidence. I'm an outdoor professional. My inner lady is quite well developed, but I keep very fit for what I do in the outdoors. And my fatigue meant that like every afternoon I was out on the sofa completely knocked out, and I was like, this is really weird, this is not like me. I had many more migraines. I've had migraines for years, but you know, one or two really bad ones a year and that's it, whereas I was getting them regularly. I'm thinking, this is just not right. But I think people are not that keen about talking about medical issues because they're frightened about where it's going to go. But actually, for me, I just needed somebody to say to me, go and read a book, dear. Somebody did, actually. I was working up in Scotland, and I needed to take a phone call from my doctor. It was a month after I'd been prescribed HRT, and she wanted to check up. And I said to them, I'm sorry if I have to leave the session. But anyway, when I come back, one of the chaps in the group said, I'll give you the name of a book to read. And it's called Menopocalypse, which is never easy to say when you can't say your words anyway, by a British lady who's based in America called Amanda Thebe. And she is a fitness instructor, amongst many other things. And she was going through all these symptoms at the same time that her daughters were hitting puberty and her sons were hitting puberty. And all of this stuff was going on, and she went and did a load of research. And I read, Martin said, go and read this book. And it just all made sense to me. I'm like, why did I not read this 3 or 4 years ago? Because I could then have understood what I was going to start going through, or what I was already going through. And education is everything. You know, it's the backbone of what we do is in leadership development and many, you know, so many other things. And personally, I've now either sent the book to friends of mine or I've recommended that they go and read it, because it's written from a sort of non-medical point of view, a sort of, you know, human life point of view. And it's like, oh God, that just makes so much sense. And there are so many really good books out there. And Dr. Louise Newson's is amazing as well, very much more medically based. But there's also a huge amount of misinformation, as Rona was saying. And it's trying to pick out the good stuff and the stuff that you want to know from the stuff that's going to scare you and all of the misinformation about what to take and what to do and what have you. So, yeah, and I just wish I had been nicer to myself and worked it out earlier.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because often these symptoms, that, like you say, the odd symptom, you put it down to a headache or, you know, something with my ears. But then when you start joining them up, you can, if you put those symptoms into Google, you very rarely get the menopause. You get all sorts of weird and wonderful things that are wrong with you. I think what I find interesting is that sometimes we can't spot those symptoms in ourselves, but others can see them in us. And so if you're in the workplace with colleagues who you know and trust, and you really know each other. So the first rule of leadership is to know your people, know your teams, really know them, not superficially, authentically about them as people, not just as workers or colleagues or subordinates, whatever phrase you want to use, actually just as people, and the rich tapestry of their lives. And then when you do get to know them and things start to be different for them, whatever that reason might be. So we talked a bit before this conversation about, you know, male suicide rates, and we start to see differences in our male colleagues when our women colleagues start to behave differently, all sorts of reasons. We're actually able to say, are you okay? How are things for you? And the lovely open questions that let people just talk about their experiences. And then the more kind of aware we are, more educated we are in the basics, then we're able. I mean, I always think that when I look to my bosses, I don't expect them to have the answers. Mm-hmm. I'd like them to have the questions so that together we can explore them and see where it takes us. And then when neither of us know what to do, at least we can start to think about, oh, where should we start looking? So I think that responsibility on all of us, whether we are leaders of ourselves or leaders of others, it's really important to have those relationships and have those conversations and be brave. Because I'm sure, Joe, the fact that someone bravely asked you on Killy, you know, how you were, opened up a whole new train of thought that you might not have gone down. And I think as women also, we, when it comes to things like our health, we do tend to just predominantly keep our mouth shut and get on with it. You know, you're kind of taught to just, make it happen, make it work, not kick up a fuss. And I said to you before, I worked with a colleague who was clearly going through the menopause, clearly to me, because I'd been through it. So it was easy to spot. And I said to her, I think this is what you might be experiencing from my experience, but go and find a medical professional and ask. Often they don't know how low your hormone levels are because they've never done pre-tests. So there's not really levels to gauge. So I think if you can, when you're in the early 40s, find out what your current levels are so you can monitor them. Mm. But then by helping her with some going to see her GP, we got her back in all her brilliance. And has she since been promoted twice, you know, in her 50s? And that's what we're talking about, is, you know, enabling women to lead the lives that they want to be leading, not being held back by their medical requirements. So,
and it's interesting that the it's not just men who are ignorant to it, it's women who are kind of hiding themselves from it. Because my own personal, the only experience I have with it is when my mum went through it, and it was women's problems. And it was only sort of when I was an adult, 15, 20 years later, that she told me she'd had a hysterectomy and that brought on early menopause and that kind of thing. But when I was 15, it was just women's problems. And similar thing with my stepmother when she went through it as well. You know, that she would just, she'd have to sit down or something, and she'd say, "Oh, just the menopause, don't worry." And then it was all glossed over, and you don't, and it became just the menopause, you know, something that just happens. And I had no idea it was quite as debilitating as it obviously can be. But talking about it, bringing it back to men, because obviously it's all about men. What else can we do to support?
I think for me, one of the critical things to understand here is that we talk about it is from a health point of view, but actually what you experience in the workplace is often behavioural or performance related, and which is one of the things that makes it such a leadership issue, because Rona's point is exactly right. I mean, I think it's long been a drum I've been banging in the UK about the fact that leaders too often see people as job titles or as deliverers of a certain outcome and not as human beings. And if you understand yourself and the people around you and seek to further that understanding all the time, these kinds of conversations just become so much easier. Mm. And they happen naturally, and they won't happen otherwise. You know, I've worked in many organizations where you wouldn't dare mention the fact that you had a child, let alone that in case that it immediately damaged your career prospects. You know, I've still experienced situations where in some organizations where male leaders will prefer not to recruit or promote women in their 20s and 30s in case they suddenly stop being there. So maybe we shouldn't tell them about this, because that will just damage it for the next 30 years after that as well. Maybe they shouldn't know. But it's a human issue, and therefore it's a leadership issue.
Yeah.
And if we are, as we are, as an organisation interested in the whole field of human performance, this is a huge part of that.
Mm.
And because, as both Joe and Rona have indicated, you know, this can be addressed relatively simply. If people understand what's happening to them, what they can do about it, know where to go, get the support and encouragement that they need to do it, it can be dealt with. If only all performance-related issues were so easily addressed, that'd be great. I'd love that. If that was something you could do that made people less idiotic or something, that'd be fantastic. But it's a business and organizational issue because of the impact that it has on people's ability to do things to their peak. You know, just at the time when a woman is likely to be at her most powerful, most productive, most creative, most influential, highest performance, something comes in and goes slap. It must have been invented by a man, clearly. Try and keep them under control. But it's such an ironic thing, isn't it? That just at the moment when you most need all of your faculties is the time where something comes along and sticks a lid on some of them. So if anything we can do to help people understand it, to spot it, to be able to talk about it, to have support for it, is hugely powerful for organizations' performance and achievement.
It's interesting, isn't it? Lots of companies give their employees private medical insurance of some degree, you know, and actually in there, there's very little around the menopause. It'd be very easy. We don't need to be giving people private medical insurance. We just need to be having conversations about how well are they, full stop. And if they're women, you know, asking the pointed questions rather than feeling a bit squeamish and uncomfortable. Because I'm sure that, you know, often it feels like leaders are afraid to open that can of worms in case it comes back to bite them, that they were insensitive or used the wrong language or asked the wrong question and were seen to be trying to belittle or demean, demote, whatever it might be. And so that doesn't happen when the relationships are sound and you understand the intention with which people ask those questions. So if I trust that you've always got my best intentions at heart, when you ask that question, I won't be offended. If I have always thought you're trying to catch me out or get me out, then I won't trust you. And so much of this does revert back to the relationships that you have with colleagues so that it feels safe to ask because you're trusted. Anyone that feels like it's going to be a difficult conversation to open should ask themselves about the types of relationships they've developed at work. Because if you can't ask these questions in a private way with someone, then yeah, that would be an alarm bell raiser for me.
Exactly right. I mean, yesterday I had a conversation with a board about the whole issue of raising sensitive issues and having difficult conversations. And that was exactly the response I gave, which is if you have decent relationships with people, no conversations are that difficult. If it's difficult, it's because you haven't prepared the ground properly. You haven't created the culture and environment in which these kinds of things can be raised. You can do that first, then go back and sort that bit out, and then we can have the conversations and they won't be difficult.
I think for me, because I lead groups of people who I've never met before in extreme environments, so they're in a state of anxiety anyway of varying levels. And then in comes this sort of 50-year-old female mountain leader. And occasionally I forget my words, or if I'm teaching DV students, I'll forget my words. And I'll just shove it into the conversation of, oh, that's my menopause brain, or, oh, what's that word? You know, can you fill in? So for them, it makes me more of a human being, but also it opens up all sorts of other conversations that may not have happened if I'd gone, no, I'm the strong leader and I am this and I am that. You know, I'm human. I have hormonal fluctuations like everybody else on the planet. And as much as I have your life in my hands and your hands, we need to work through this together. And I remember when I was teaching some DV students a couple of years ago, this was pre-HRT, so I was particularly bad at having conversations or teaching. It's not that I was bad at teaching, but it was just getting the right words out at the right time. And I said to a set of students, the menopause brain, I have the word but I can't remember it, who can fill in? And someone did, and they went, oh, my mum's like that. And suddenly I think for that student, she was like, oh, that's what's going on. Because again, you know, I don't have children and neither does Rona, and we're coming from this from a very non-parental aspect, but it's getting our kids to have the conversations with the parents, because home life has such an impact with work life that we know. So it's having the sort of whole conversation and not being afraid of it. And I was talking to a colleague last year in about a menopause conference I was talking at beginning of this year, and he said, as a husband, father, son, brother, everything I am as a man, colleague, boss, what have you, what can I do to help? And I said to him, just read up and encourage the females in your family to do the same, because I wish I had.
I think that being prepared to be vulnerable part's really important, because we're often, as women, we feel like we need to say yes, we can and we will, and hide any doubt or insecurity or any anxiety, hide that away, because that looks like a weakness. And so being vulnerable, I mean, I remember when I was ahead, someone saying to me, I got something wrong, and someone said, oh, thank God for that. I've been dying for you to get something wrong publicly, because actually if you keep looking like you know what you're doing, it doesn't help the rest of us. And it was a moment where I thought, oh, I thought I was doing the right thing by shielding them from anything that wasn't quite right. And actually, it turns out I wasn't. And so it meant that I didn't just let myself fail over and over again in public, but actually what it meant that I could be more vulnerable when I wasn't sure, or when I felt like I needed support, I could say, I need some help. And I heard myself talking to our CEO last week saying, there's this particular aspect of my career that I've not got had much experience in. I'm looking for a mentor now to help me to learn about that part. And I feel okay with sharing the fact that I don't know and being what you could say is vulnerable in front of my boss and saying, this is what I'm going to do to help myself to develop and improve. And I think that with the menopause is really important by saying, you know, fill in the gaps for me. I like that phrase. And normalizing this so that, youngsters and colleagues are learning around us and with us. And we're, you know, it might be quite nice for them, someone then to say, didn't need to fill any gaps in today, miss. You're doing a great job.
Well, that's the thing. I was on a mountain in September and I had a couple of 25-year-olds who both had their own, they ran a business together. And they brought up the conversation with me and they were like, we need to learn about this. We are well out of what's going on and how we, as business owners and employers, how we need to deal with it. So we had a really good, intelligent, information-based conversation. And it was an absolute joy because they're in their mid-20s, you know, they're surrounded by young people in their business, but as business leaders, they will be employing people who are of my age or, you know, when they get there as well. And it's like, we need to have chats about it, you know, not necessarily on a mountain, but it's so important for people to say, how can I help?
Use the word, and Roni, I think you used the word normalized. I think it's so important that's what we're talking about here. To some extent, I see a similar sort of trajectory here to the mental health conversations that 10 years ago, you would never have mentioned any kind of mental health challenge because people had equated that to you being mad. So therefore, you weren't safe to be around anymore. It's the same thing, you know, that's becoming a more normal conversation. You've alluded to this thing about male suicide as being such a prevalent trend recently. So it's still not normal enough to have those kinds of conversations, and men do that to themselves. You know, I think some of the same ways that women do the same thing to themselves in the menopause by not talking about it, by not finding out about it, by not being ready to open up that conversation with even their female colleagues, let alone the male ones. And the more we can get over those kinds of barriers and to normalize this conversation, why wouldn't we want to talk about it? Something that has such an impact.
Yeah, I find it really interesting because if we think about it, there's a rise in conversations about many different things. Domestic abuse, rising conversation about that through the pandemic. Actually, what I think is happening is people are less scared of being honest. They're a bit more open and people are starting to ask broader questions and finding out more and saying, oh, I didn't know anything about X or Y or Z. And so rather than, I think what the business leaders fall into a trap of almost ticking boxes. Oh, must have a policy for the menopause, tick. Must have a policy for diversity, must have a policy for, and it becomes a tick box exercise against some spurious targets we've created. Rather than saying, we commit to knowing our people in every way we can, and we commit to listening to them and understanding any barriers that they have in the workplace, whatever that barrier might be, and the opportunities that are afforded by having them in our team. What do they bring to the party that we can all benefit from? And we'll have all of these open and honest conversations, and we'll take everything we learn and we'll consider what we do next to make our business the best it can be for everybody. And we won't just do it once. We'll keep doing it because we recognise that people change and times change and teams grow and change in their makeup. And so we'll keep doing this. And so if we just removed all of the lists of ticking of things and just talked about people and then enable people to feel safe, I think we would transform how teams work and the kind of conversations we have and we're prepared to have. If I was a leader now, I wouldn't be going away hurriedly finding a menopause tick list. I think that wouldn't be helpful. I'd be saying, what do I not know about that I need to know? And then don't fall in the trap of asking the people who are experiencing it to teach me. But go away and teach myself so that then I can ask those nice big open questions and let people be honest about their experiences rather than, I don't need to lead the conversation. I can start it, but then I can let others lead and take it where it comes.
Absolutely.
I think that would be really transformational in businesses.
I think the comparison with mental health awareness is compelling, I think, because that's a topic that has is now a part of the sort of social and business conversations, whereas for so long it wasn't. And then it initially was, but it was exactly as you're saying, it was a box ticking exercise where, you know, they were almost begrudgingly doing it. Whereas now, you know, anyone, any leader knows that this is proper serious stuff that they need to actually really do something about. And there's no reason why the menopause couldn't and shouldn't be like that as well. Okay, so we, something obviously we like to do on the podcast when we're talking about these issues is share some recommended resources. Joe, you mentioned a book. Can you just remind us of that?
Yeah, or you're going to tell me to say it again. Menopocalypse. And it's well by a lady called Amanda Thebe, and I think that's T-H-E-B-E. Apologies if I've got a name wrong, but it's, absolutely brilliant. And also doctors mentioned the sort of pre and post Davina McCall Channel 4 programme, which I now can't remember the name of. I think Menopause Myths or something like that. But if you Google it, you'll find it. And that was really informative as well, because it's a lived experience.
I'll put the links in the show notes to everything that we mentioned. Rona, what have you got?
Yeah, Dr. Louise Newson is a phenomenal woman and is on a mission to raise the awareness of the menopause and HRT. So she's a medical practitioner, but she wrote a book which is like the Haynes Manual for Menopause. And back in, I think, 2001 or 2018, it's a few years old, but she's just about to have another book published looking at how we prepare for perimenopause and the menopause. She's also got a website, which I'll give you the link for. And on there, there's an app that you can use to track your symptoms if you think that you're starting to go through the perimenopause. And there's just a wealth of information. She runs clinics around the country, started off very small in Stratford and has grown her clinics. And it's always around two angles: supporting other GPs to raise their awareness, because she recognises that GPs don't always have all of the expertise that they need, and then also raising awareness for men and women so that they can help themselves and help others in their lives. So yeah, she's worth a good read. She's got podcasts and books, and she's a great woman, so find her.
Great. Nigel?
Yeah, I'll share a number of links to articles and pieces that are potentially very useful. I'd also like to go back on something you said there, where you talked about this is becoming a more normal conversation and leaders know about mental health and this kind of thing. I think that's true for the top 10%. Mm. I still think there are thousands and thousands of middle-sized and smaller organisations that know nothing and do nothing about any of this stuff because they're too busy running around trying to get work done. Mm-hmm. They don't have the capacity in their own minds to think about this stuff. So we've got a lot of work to do. So I'll dig out a number of things and send them so you can share them.
And you've written an article about it as well, so we'll put that link. Just to wrap things up then, I'm just going to go through some of the key takeaways as I've sort of noted them down. So the thing is, what we're saying is if you think you're going through the menopause, ask for help. It's important to speak up. And if you think someone is going through the menopause, then offer help. If someone's not their normal self, there may well be a very, very good reason for it. But be gentle and respectful. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it, whether you are the one going through it or you think someone is going through it. Let's talk about it. Let's demystify it. Let's normalize it. Open up the conversation, particularly in areas where it's particularly taboo. Everyone, men, women, business leaders, should read up about it. There is a wealth of information out there. It's not about ticking boxes. It's about being properly informed. And ultimately, this is a business issue because it's not a short-term thing. It can be totally debilitating. And consequently, a huge amount of talent could be lost to the workforce if we don't open up the conversation. So did I miss anything?
Sounds good to me.
Got it? Okay.
Nodding eagerly.
Well, brilliant. So thank you, Joe, for joining us today. It's been really good to have you on. Please come and join us again on a different topic. Look forward to that. Thanks as usual to Nigel and especially to Rona, who moved yesterday and made sure her podcast mic was at the top of the box, even though her cat was in the washing machine. thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership Learned podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the topics discussed today. You can find us on LinkedIn by searching Inspirational Development Group or email us on info@inspirationaldg.com. If you would like to learn more about IDG and the work we do optimizing human performance through leadership development, you can find us at inspirationaldevelopment.com. We'll see you next time.